4. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, let's rock and roll. It's the TGIF edition of the Gary Harris Show for this Friday, September 19th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. No Fridays at the Free today because there's no game. We'll be back in Innisfree next Friday morning ahead of the Alabama at Georgia game in Athens on Saturday night. But we're in studio today, but it's still the TGIF edition of the program. So that means we're still going to have a lot of fun, going to have a lot of great music. My SEC point spread predictions, which, like I said, I'm doing pretty well. Picking against the spread in the SEC without being able to cherry pick games is not easy. I've gone 6-5, 5-5. And 7-4. So 18-14 headed into this week. We'll have my picks later on. No Bama football trivia giveaway either. We only do that when there are games, courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery and University Mall, but that returns next week as well. But still, we got a great show lined up for you today, and we're going to dive right in here in just a moment. First, though, I need to tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Member owned and not for profit, it really is just a better way of banking. And with 38 locations across Alabama and one branch in Northwest Florida, we're ready to serve you. Alabama Credit Union is a top rated local credit union, and for good reason. They take care of their members. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Or as I said, stop by and see them at one of their 38 locations across Alabama and one in the Northwest Florida area, including the hub, the main office right here in Tuscaloosa. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money and put a little extra change in your pocket. Are the lineup for today? It is a good one. Once again, Adam Amin getting caught in an airplane this morning as he did a baseball game last night, did the Cubs game, and now he's flying out to San Francisco for an NFL game on Sunday. So he's not going to be able to be with us, but we've got a good guest lineup. Will Miller from Bama Central is going to be with us at 9:30 to talk Bama football and basketball, as well as the Atlanta Braves, as the Braves try to finish out the season strong and retool for 2026. Then Caleb Castile is back with us at 10 o'clock. Of course, the outstanding Castile family means so much to Alabama football. Caleb, a very successful Hollywood actor and also the producer for the Alabama football documentary that just took theaters by storm and is now going to on demand. So after a successful nationwide theatrical run, Alabama football documentary, Nothing But a Winner, launches on video on demand beginning today. So Caleb Castile is going to join us to tell us about that. And if you didn't see it in the theaters, how you can see it now. It has got a 97% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's been well received. The movie is outstanding. And after a great theatrical run, as I said, it's now going to be available on video on demand. Caleb Castile with us at 10 o'clock. Then at 10:30, it's the Auburn Report. Brett Pritchard, who does the Auburn Blitz and will be flying out to Norman in the morning, but he's going to join us this morning to talk Auburn football. And of course, he's part of the Alabama High School Athletic Association radio network and does Benjamin Russell High School football. So we'll talk a little high school football this morning with him as well. So great show on tap for you. As we said, all that music that we're known for to get you ready for the weekend, weekend-themed music. We always have a lot of fun on Fridays. And we've got Reed Karch in this morning along with Chase Brumfield. So I got the doubleheader working this morning. So that's always fun, too. So we're ready to rock and roll. 205-342-9904 is the number. 205-342-9904 is the number on the Storage Center hotline if you want to give us a call. All right, some news and notes. Alabama went back out on the practice field. Didn't realize until I guess I got the release that that's the first practice they had this week. So they gave the guys some time off on the bye week, but went back to work yesterday as they begin preparations for that game against Georgia a week from Saturday night over in Athens. As we've talked about, only two SEC versus SEC games this week. The big one, Auburn at Oklahoma, and also South Carolina at Missouri. But a number of other games that are interesting games for the SEC, including, of course, Florida at Miami. We'll run down the schedule, and I'll have my SEC point spread predictions for you a little bit later on. Thursday night NFL last night, the Dolphins 0-2, the Bills 2-0, and I had said I didn't think it'd be much of a game, but give Miami credit. They battled in this game. This was a 21-21 game in the fourth quarter. The Bills took a 28-21 lead, and the Dolphins had a chance to go down and tie it, but Tua got picked off. Now, everybody jumped on Tua for that interception because it looked like he threw it right to the Bills defender. After doing, not that again, I don't break down film or any of that, but after listening and watching some reviews, particularly by Kurt Warner, Hall of Fame quarterback, Super Bowl winner, he didn't put that on Tua. He put it on the receiver for not running the right route. He said it was the right read. So it goes to show you that sometimes what you see is not always what you get. And again, it's unfortunate. And I will say this. I mean, based on what we saw at Alabama in first couple years in the NFL, what the Dolphins are doing on offense, I don't really understand it. I think that, you know, he has the ability to throw the ball down the field, but most of what they're doing is just check down stuff, short passes. He did have two touchdown passes, a 3-yarder to Waddle and a 5-yarder to Hill. But Tua Tagovailoa only threw for 146 yards and did have two touchdowns, had the one unfortunate interception. I just think that Miami... now listen, A-Chain had a good game running the football. He had 12 carries for 62 yards. Ollie Gordon, the second, had 9 carries for 38 yards. They ran the ball for 130 yards. So they had a good game. They had a chance to win that football game. And then the late pick, and of course the late pick led to a field goal, which kind of clinched the game for the Bills. But it was not easy for the Bills. But again, that interception, because Tua just got blasted on social media, because again, you see the interception and you're like, what are you doing? But Kurt Warner, I retweeted it. If you want to go to my Gary Harris _ WVUA Twitter page and read Kurt Warner's analysis, because I guess it was Emmanuel Ocho that jumped out there and just, you know, jumped all over to a, you know, this is rookie stuff and training camp stuff. And Kurt Warner, I thought, had a great point, because he kind of got on Ochoa a little bit with his tweet, because basically what he said was, and I'm trying to find it now, I respect Emmanuel Ocho is the guy who put it out and just said this is day one stuff and just blasted Tua. Kurt Warner said, I respect all the guys out here doing work, but tell me what happened here instead of just yelling at the quarterback. It was the right read off the coverage. Details matter. And then he went into details on why that really wasn't Tua's fault. So, yeah, as fans, as people who did not play NFL football, sometimes what we see is not necessarily what we think we're seeing, and it doesn't help when analysts who are paid to break it down, like Emmanuel Ocho, just go out there and blast Tua. But anyway, listen, the head coach Mike McDaniel, I think at this point, Reed, is I don't think he's going to make it through the season, because the Dolphins are 0-3, and quite frankly, I don't think they're going to win many games. And again, I know I'm not a fan necessarily of firing head coaches in the middle of the season, and maybe they won't, but you can't fire all the players. You just can't do it. So if it continues to go south, sometimes you've got to make a change. We've seen it in college football already. But anyway, I was hoping the Dolphins would beat the Bills last night. I wasn't very optimistic about it. But then at halftime, it's 14-14. Then it's 21-21. And even after it's down 28-21, I'm saying, you know, they got a chance here. And their defense, the much maligned Miami defense, did a good job last night. I mean, they held Josh Allen to 213 yards passing. Now, James Cook had a nice night. But, I mean, it wasn't like the Bills just ran up and down the field on them all night. And so maybe the Dolphins are making some improvement. Because they got just destroyed in their opener against the Colts. They should have beaten the Patriots last week. They should have beaten the Patriots, and they could have beaten the Colts. So, you know, they could be 2-1. They probably should be 1-2, but instead you're 0-3. And like Bill Parcells famously said, you are what your record says you are, and they are a 0-3 football team. All right, there was high school football last night that we're going to get to. Bama volleyball won at home. They're 8-1. They beat Memphis 3-1. And Bama soccer with a big win in Baton Rouge over LSU. 2-1 SEC soccer matchup for Alabama. So a lot going on this morning. We've got Will Miller coming up at 9:30. We're going to run down high school football last night. Pell City is 4-1. They blew out Huffman last night, 49-7. We'll run down the high school football scores from last night, look ahead to the schedule this week. So we got a really good show on tap. Corey and Trustful is going to lead us off. Corey, you hold tight. We'll get to you on the other side. 205-342-9904 is the number. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield, Reed Karts, the TGIF edition. No Fridays at the free today, but we'll be back at Innisfree Irish Pub next Friday morning ahead of the Georgia game. We'll be right back on the program right after this.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Friday morning. The University of Alabama taking heat because there has been no reaction to faculty members who made disparaging remarks online about the assassination of conservative political activist Charlie Kirk. While UA has remained silent, Auburn has fired several employees and a state education department employee was fired for saying Kirk's death was well-deserved. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's free. Don Hart, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch meeting
for his clients. Remember M for money and Mesrano.
If it has a logo on it, call me. 205-800-8000.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Some of us just work right through the weekend, but not this weekend. And let me say this. I love it when Alabama plays football, but having a bye week, I'm looking forward to having a weekend off like a normal person. How about that? Pretty excited about that. How about this? SEC is going to be announcing its permanent opponents next week for the new 9-game conference schedule. Most people are picking Alabama's 3 permanent opponents to be Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU. I think it should be Auburn, Tennessee, and Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State, and we've talked about this before, I love the drive to Starkville. It's convenient. It's almost like a home game. There's a long history between the two schools. It's actually Alabama's longest rival. And plus, I just think if you hammer Alabama with Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU, that's tough, man. Not that Mississippi State's not a good team, Chase. I'm not saying that, but They're not consistently as good as LSU. Let's just say that. But we'll find out next week. Let's jump out on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904 and talk to my pal Corey over there in T-ville, Trustville. He's all fired up for the Huskies taking on Hillcrest tonight. Hey, Corey.
Hey, Gary. How you doing this morning?
Doing well, buddy.
I see what you did there, Gary.
What did I do?
You picked Hillcrest.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean,
I don't have a problem with it. You have the right to pick who you want to pick. And listen, I think it'll be a good game. I really do. You know, here it's on the road. It's always tough to win in 7A on the road, just like it's hard to win in the SEC on the road. It's kind of an unfamiliar environment for Trustful because if my memory serves me right, I think last year was the first time Hewitt's ever played Hillcrest. So it would be the first time I've ever been to Hillcrest. So it ought to be interesting what the environment's like.
Yeah, it's going to be a great environment. It's going to be we're going to be live down there at 5 with our Coach Mitchell on the news and then covering the game. It's going to be a lot of excitement. I'm with you, Corey. I think it's going to be a really good high school football game. And, you know, in the winter, contending for the 7A Region 3 championship. I mean, I know Thompson's still the favorite regardless of what happens, but the winner of this game tonight, particularly if it's Hewitt, which is undefeated, and you know, both these teams are going to get their shot at Thompson. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that game tonight for sure.
Why did you pick Hillcrest?
Well, I just think playing at home, as I said yesterday, I think they've got a really good team. They won at Hoover. They let it get away from them at Vestavia, but that was on the road. They're back home tonight, and I think that Hillcrest has got a really good defense, and I really like Hewitt's team, just like you do. I think Hewitt's solid. I don't think Hewitt's got the kind of offense, in my opinion, that's going to run away from you. So I think it's going to be a close game, and playing at home, I think Hillcrest is going to pull it out.
Yeah, this is one of Hewitt's really best defenses. I know they're missing their.
It is. It's two good defensive teams. That's why I'm thinking it's going to be a close game, and I'm just going to give the. I think it's going to be in that 20-17, 17-13 type of game. I do.
I can't wait to watch it. But going to Alabama here. Are you confident we can get the running game going in the future?
I wouldn't say I'm confident. I mean, I would say that I think they have a chance. I mean, I think they've got good backs. I don't think they've got, you know, there's no Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram, Trent Richardson, Najee Harris. And you can go on and on the list. It's been impressive. I don't think there's that kind of, you know, first round Eddie Lacy, that type of talent back there in the backfield. Now, I think A.K. Deer in the future has shown that, you know, he's got a big burst. I think Kevin Riley and Jam Miller are solid backs. I think Daniel Hill is kind of a plugger. Dre Washington hits it in there hard. These are good, solid backs. I don't think there is a game-breaking back, number one. Number two, the offensive line has got to block better consistently in the run game. So I think they have potential to have a good running game, but to say they're going to get it going, particularly against that defensive front that they're going to face in Georgia, even though it's not what it's been, Georgia's still good on defense. I don't know. I'm interested to see with Jam Miller coming back how much that helps.
Yeah, and also we got to stop the run. The last five losses, giving up an average of 196 yards and 60 yards to the quarterback. So we got to stop the run if we want to have a chance to beat Georgia. And that's one of the keys, because you can't let them dictate pace of the game.
Well, yeah, you gotta be able to stand up at the line of scrimmage against them with your defensive front. You do, and you've got to. And Alabama's had a lot of success doing that over the years when they've had success against Georgia, including the first half last year where their defense just smothered Georgia. And then the second half, it got away from them. They still won the game, but Georgia moved the ball up and down the field in the second half. No, I'm with you. Listen, it's going to be a really good SEC college football game. And it's going to, I think, go down to the fourth quarter. I think Alabama will have a chance to win. I'm leaning toward Georgia. I picked Georgia in the preseason. And playing in Athens, and I understand that Kirby's 1-5 against Alabama. I understand that Alabama's won 9 of the last 10 against Georgia. I get all that. But every game and every season is different. And I just think if the game were in Tuscaloosa, I'd feel differently, you know. But last year it was, and Alabama pulled it out and used that home field advantage for everything that it was worth. But this is the first time Alabama has gone to Athens in 10 years. I remember last time. I thought Georgia would win in 2015. I did. I picked Georgia to win in 2015. So if I pick Georgia this year, I may very well be wrong again. And Derrick Henry went over there and ran wild, and Alabama blew him out. But it's going to be – I think it's going to be a tough task for Alabama.
You're pretty much thinking Georgia's going to win this time.
Well, I'm going to let you know next week what I'm thinking. But right now I'm leaning toward, you know, I'll announce my pick on Tider Insider TV next Tuesday night. But right now I am, you know, looking at the fact that for me, this lines up well for Georgia. But do I think Alabama's capable of winning the game? Absolutely, I do.
Yeah, it's just, the thing for me is, I don't think Alabama can afford to fall behind too far. They need to be able to stay in striking distance as best as possible. If they do fall behind, or better enough, jump out in front and stay ahead. Take the crowd out of the game.
Yeah, that would be ideal. The best thing to do on the road is, like you said, is to play well from the get-go. Get a lead, take the crowd out of the game, and go in there and break their hearts. And, you know, Alabama's capable of that. But like I said, I'm going to have much more as far as what I think about that game coming up next week. Hey, Corey, got to hit the break, man. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Good to talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Appreciate you. It's 9:29 here on the Gary Harris Show, and we're going to come back with Will Miller from Bama Central, part of the SI.com network, talking Bama football, basketball, and the Braves. That's next here on the Gary Harris Show. But before we go to break, I want to remind you the YMCA of Tuscaloosa opens 7 days a week to help you reach your fitness goals. It's where I go to work out. Why don't you join me? The Y, downtown, 2300 13th Street. Find out more at YMCATuscaloosa.org. We'll be back with Will Miller next here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
Learn another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Yeah, getting you ready for the weekend. I hadn't done this one in a while. I told the boys, I said, let's crank up some Elton John. Saturday night's all right for fighting. But you know what I said, folks, in the interest of full disclosure, I said, but you boys better not get a fight tomorrow night. I don't want to wake, you know, go down the mugshot list on Sunday and see Reed or Chase there in any trouble. So Saturday night's all right for fighting, but not really, okay? Just a good song. All right, let's bring in Will Miller from Bama Central, part of the SI.com network, covers Alabama, and also, of course, one of our guys that we go to with the Braves. Good morning, Will. How are you?
I'm good, Gary. How about you?
Good to have you on. Let's start with Bama football after that really poor start to the season. Laying an egg in Tallahassee, they bounce back 73-0 over ULM and then 38-14 over Wisconsin. Now you get to bye, kind of reset, and you go to Athens next Saturday night for a big one, a huge game against Georgia, SEC opener. Where do you think this Alabama football team's at right now?
Certainly in a good place, as good as you could hope for after that absolute worst-case scenario nightmare disaster that happened week one. It was bad in pretty much all phases, whether that be outcome, effort, approach, whatever, you name it, it was bad. And I think they would tell you that. I really do. And these past two games, especially that first home opener there against ULM, I'm hearing a lot of people talk about how maybe we don't still know a lot about this team based on who they've played. And people have circled this Georgia game on their calendar for more reasons than one. But one of those reasons being that maybe that's the game that you find out what you really have with this Alabama football team. And I'm really looking forward to that game, but I think it's a good time, and Georgia's on a bye too. I think it's really a good time for both teams to kind of reset, get in that mindset to play that big game. I mean, when it comes to Alabama, I mean, things were, I mean, it was a five alarm fire at the end of last month, and now they've done about all they can do with these last two games, just in terms of the dominance that they put on. And I think it's, in a manner of speaking, back to their regularly scheduled programming. You've seen a version of this team that's much more in line with what the preseason expectations were. They're playing well. I think that there's a lot of momentum, but like I said, this Georgia game is big for more reasons than one. And I do agree with the general consensus that I've heard that this is going to be the game where you find out what this team's really made of.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, Will, listen, win or lose, you're going to play eight more football games during the regular season after this one. But the stakes for this game are so high because of the loss in Tallahassee. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, you win this game, you're 3-1, you're 1-0 in the SEC, you're rolling coming home to play Vanderbilt. If you lose this game to go to 2-2 overall, 0-1 in the league, you're running uphill. And that's not to say that Alabama couldn't rattle off 8 wins or 7 out of 8 and still be in position to get into the playoff, possibly even get to Atlanta. But a loss here and, you know, 2-2 and 0-1 in the SEC is not ideal after four games. I mean, this is a big game for all the reasons you laid out, but just for the long-term success of this season, you lose this game, it's going to be difficult for Alabama when you look at what's ahead on the schedule.
100%. And I don't just say that because of who is left on the schedule. You've still got, I mean, it's an absolute gauntlet in the SEC. You've got Vanderbilt, for example, coming in with a different kind of fire than I think we've seen from them in a long time, if ever. And that's just one example. You've got, you know, Oklahoma coming in with one of the best quarterbacks in the country. You've got a resurgent Auburn team that you go to their place. I could go on, but beat Georgia would really send the message, I think, that this Alabama team is for real. And they certainly think that they are. When they play up to their standards, they certainly are. But that's why you play the games. There's a reason you play the games. Florida State went 2-10 last year, and a lot of people thought that Alabama was going to roll over them. New quarterback that really did not have a good year last year, and he was coming in with a lot of confidence. People were saying, oh, Alabama's going to come in and shut that talk down, and the opposite happened. But for Alabama, it's just about, I mean, you go into a hostile road environment and nothing really matters but that next play. Bray Hubbard talked about it at the availability yesterday. When you're on the road, you just have to start fast, start hot. And that's what Alabama's going to have to be focused on. You can't be thinking about Vanderbilt. That you know, that'll come either way. Like you said, win or lose the game, those games are still on the schedule. You know, what's coming is going to come. And I mean, I certainly think that level of focus is on Alabama's mind. If you were to ask, you know, the coaching staff off record or the players off record, I certainly think that they feel like this next game is the most important one. I definitely say that it is.
One aspect of this Bama team that's been reassuring to Alabama fans has been the play of Ty Simpson. I mean, we all knew that he had been here going into his fourth year, already had his degree, had matured, had, you know, stayed when a lot of other quarterbacks left, and he earned this opportunity, but we still didn't know for sure how the guy would play. I mean, never started a game in his career. And down in Tallahassee, I thought he played better than most of the Alabama players. But then the last 2 weeks, I mean, he's been phenomenal. And I understand Monroe was not the high level of caliber of competition that you're going to face. Wisconsin was better. But still, I mean, to go 41 of 46 in his last two games without an interception, 7 touchdowns, he's been phenomenal.
To say he's looked apart over the last 2 weeks would be an understatement. I thought on that first drive against Florida State, look outstanding. And he's still not the reason that they lost that game. I've
right.
said that a few times over the last few weeks. He's not. You know, there were certain moments where he certainly had those, oh, this is his first career start, and I'm on the road, and I'm kind of in the thick of it. Those moments were there. But at the same time, he didn't play bad enough for him to be in the neighborhood of, oh, this is why Alabama lost that game. But then the last 2 weeks, I mean, he's kicked it up several notches. He's looked, you know, every bit like a world beater. Honestly, he's been, you know, he almost set the consecutive completions school record. And he does have the single game record after that performance against ULM for most straight completions. And with that comes confidence. I mean, obviously you get the success on the stat sheet and you win the games, but there's confidence for a new starter that, like you mentioned, has been waiting his turn. And that is so important when you go into games like next week. I mean, we can talk about road environments, but that's one of the toughest. And you want your guy to be at the maximum confidence going into a game like that. I think that Ty Simpson's got to be there, or pretty close, and he should be. His play warrants it, and the results have followed. And I think it's a really encouraging sign for the rest of the season.
Overall, what's your, or if you have one, what's your biggest concern about this Alabama football team? I think we've been, rightfully so, the last couple of weeks looking at all the positives. Is it the fact that they really haven't consistently run the ball? Is it the defensive front? I mean, is there an area at this team that you say, man, they've got to tighten this up, shore this up?
I think it's the offensive line. And that factors into the rushing struggles a little bit. They haven't had Jamie Miller all year. And for as well as I think Kevin Riley has played, that certainly is a factor into it. But this offensive line, they're still working to find the right pieces, that right unit, that best unit at the front. And, I mean, you saw, for example, Michael Carroll had played a lot of reps over there at right tackle against Wisconsin, true freshman, coming in and battling with Wilkin Formby there. And this offensive line, to me, in order for the running game to take the next step, the offensive line has to take the next step. And you saw that 2 years ago, and they didn't play well for the first few weeks of the season. By the end, except at the center position, they were a lot better. And I mean, I think that this offense can really move along as that group moves along, if they do. And that's a big area of concern to me. That will open up the running game. It will open up a lot more in the passing game naturally, because your protection for the quarterback is going to be better. So many possibilities.
All right, let's get to basketball. Two high-caliber commits already for 2026. Had three of the best players in the country in last week for visits. Got three more coming in this week, including the Ratliff twins, both 6'11". I guess this is basketball under Nate Oates, particularly with Preston Murphy on the staff. I mean, you're going to recruit at a high level every year. You're going to compete for Final Fours and hopefully for national championships. This is the new norm, I feel like, for Alabama men's basketball. It's not the exception now to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament and say, well, boy, made a nice run. You know, maybe we'll do it again in a few years. Or have a top five recruiting class and say, well, that was a great class. Maybe we can, you know, parlay that class into a Final Four run, because, you know, we won't have another class like that for 10 or 15 years. This is just business as usual, right, Will?
Yes, as shocking as it would have been 10 years ago to tell somebody this is how it's going to be, 10 years ago, especially 15 years ago. I mean, the standard has been elevated, particularly on the recruiting scene, and certainly the win-loss records, the NCAA tournament forecast, and the actual NCAA tournament appearances have elevated as well. I mean, to me, and I grew up going to Alabama basketball games when they just weren't one of those relevant teams in the national picture. And for a long time, that's just how it was. And there's certainly a tendency to just assume, oh, this is how it's going to be. I mean, my dad, you know, he's a huge basketball fan, loves Alabama basketball. I mean, I don't think he ever imagined, you know, that it could get to this point. And, you know, he grew up when Wimps Anderson was the coach. But I mean, talking about some of the results in the 2000s and some of the highs and the lows there, because, you know, they did make an Elite Eight back in 04. But I'm not sure that he ever thought you'd be having situations like this, where you're going to be in the preseason top two like you were last year, where you're going to make a Final Four and then an Elite Eight. I mean, the program right now is in a great place. It can't even be overstated, Gary. But, I mean, this potential recruiting class that could be coming in, you talk about a guy like Caleb Holt. I've seen him play. That kid is a special talent, and that's just one example. I mean, you have to obviously continue that level of recruiting in order to continue this huge ascent that your program has been on. But I mean, I agree, talking about competing for the Final Four year in, year out, being on one of those top seed lines come March, I mean, it has been a drastic turnaround. And the recruiting becoming at this level, staying at this level, I would say, because we've had a few years now, right, where this is, it's been just class after class after class of these high-level prospects, and a great returning roster for this year, by the way, as well. I mean, yeah, I mean, they lost to UCLA back in 2021 in the Sweet 16, and I wondered a lot. I mean, I was an 18-year-old kid. I wondered a lot. Is that it? Is that all we're going to get? And it most certainly hasn't been.
Gage Mayfield, is he just more evidence of how high of a level Alabama's recruiting at? Because he's a really good player. Just down the road, 69 South at Hale County High School, the same high school that Herb Jones graduated from. He had a finalist list of Florida State, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and Oklahoma. Good schools, good basketball schools. Chose Oklahoma. I think he's a really good player. I've watched him. You know, obviously being local, 6'7", 6'8", type wing with, you know, good shot and a good handle. But Alabama didn't show a ton of interest. Is that just more evidence of, you know, as good a player as he is, and he's a local kid, he just wasn't good enough for Alabama to pursue with, you know, 100% of determination to sign him? What happened there?
It really could be. And it's important to remember that, you know, not all of those blue chip guys work out. You look at Knox Cunningham, for example. You know, they don't all necessarily pan out, even if they do get to campus, and sometimes the fit for the player just isn't there. It could be a lot of things. Obviously, my highest level of athletic experience is the recess level, the high school gym class level. So I went through a high level recruiting journey, and I think that for the NATO system too, it's a specific type of player, because it's going to be, I mean, you're going to see, we know what we're going to see. You're going to see a lot of points. You're going to see a lot of long range shots and a very high paced tempo kind of game. I mean, that's a specific style that certain players have not played. And you certainly don't want to throw a kid into the fire in major college basketball with a whole different system maybe than what they've been used to doing up to that point, too.
All right, let's touch on the Braves. Playing better as of late. They've won 5 in a row, 6 of their last 10. I mean, they're still in fourth place in the National League East. I don't think they're going to catch the Marlins. But I'll be honest with you, Will, I hadn't paid much attention to them lately since we got to football season. But what have you seen from them lately? What can they do to retool in the offseason? And can this team be a contender in the National League East next year?
I'd love it if they were. You just want to see something from the front office. I mean, last year they wrote off 2024 and they said, oh, that was just injuries. We're not going to do anything meaningful to improve the team. And they really didn't. They weren't in the free agent market much except for getting Profar, who, by the way, if they had him in this lineup all year, they'd be a different ball club.
He's been good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been playing every day for pretty much half the year. He came back in July. So, I mean, he's been playing for pretty much the second half, the duration. And he has really done a good job. I did not expect it. I've been on this program, and I talked about how I thought that his value to the team was totally shot after that drug test failure and that suspension. And I mean, it looks like the early returns are, I'm going to have to eat my words on that one, which I'm totally okay with because I've always liked it. But you can't play free agency like that this time. You have to go get a starter. This year has shown you your entire opening day rotation wound up on the injured list. You have to go get at least one starter this winter. You have to shore up the bullpen. Joe Jimenez coming back will help. He's supposed to come back this year. Had a setback. No point in rushing him back. And this year, also, you had a lot of injuries again, which is, it's the most confounding thing in the world to me. How in the world can one team encounter so many injuries, with the exception of Matt Olson, who is baseball's current Iron Man, knock on wood, everybody's gotten hurt. And it's dumb luck in some cases. I mean, but again, I think you just can't treat this season like they did last season, in the sense they thought, oh, this is an anomaly. We're not going to go through all of this again. You have to go out, make the meaningful additions. You've already got one guy there in Ha-Seong Kim that you could – I mean, he has a player option, so I don't guess it's really the team's decision. But if you were to exercise that option, you've already got an upgrade at the shortstop position, particularly offensively. That's one thing that you needed. Like I said, relievers, starters, you want to have protection against the level of disasters that have happened the last 2 years, from the standpoint of A, your guys not being on the field, and B, you not having the guys to replace them. I mean, you look at the outfield mix this year and the level that they weren't producing. You want to have those pieces in place, especially the bullpen, the bench pieces, like I said, the shortstop upgrade is already there. But you have to do something. You can't, if you're Alex Anthopoulos, you cannot stand pat. And of course, I save the best for last. You about 600% need a new manager. And I'm not really a fan of this talk from Brian Snicker that says, oh, I might come back or I might not. I have to decide what I want to do. Please retire.
Just make it easy on everybody. Hey, great stuff, Will. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at RealWBMiller, and that's where you can keep up with all of my work. You can find all of myself, my colleagues' work at BamaCentral.com.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks, Gary. Have a great weekend.
All right, appreciate it. 9:51, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up this first hour. We'll try to squeeze in a call from Mary from Atlanta. If we can't get to her, Mary, we'll get to you a little bit later on in the show, but we're going to come back and wrap up the first hour with The Cure, Friday I'm in Love. Going to get us out of here for hour number one. We'll be right back after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, we'll do SEC Parlay Picks presented by Brian Harden Construction. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough from Bama 247 Sports. We'll talk to Brent Beer, Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports.
At Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages,
and... And when you call, you'll actually talk to me. 205-800-8000. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partly to mostly sunny today. A few isolated showers or storms this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 93. The low tonight, 68. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. A small chance of a shower. The high, 94. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I don't care if Monday's blue, Tuesday's gray, and Wednesday too. Thursday, I don't care about you, it's Friday. I'm in love. Monday you can fall apart. Tuesday, Wednesday break my heart. Oh, Thursday doesn't even start. It's Friday. I'm in love. Saturday wake. And Sunday always comes too late. But Friday never hesitate.
You know, I always say, Chase knows this, Friday's my favorite day of the week. The weekend's awesome, but Friday, the buzz, the vibe, the excitement to get to the weekend. That's why Friday I'm in Love by The Cure, our first hour getaway song, as now we start to wrap it up for hour number one. And in the second hour, Caleb Castile with us at the top of the hour, Brett Pritchard. We're also going to take phone calls. In fact, Mary from Atlanta has been holding on. She's just going to keep holding and enjoy the show. And we'll get her on in the second hour as well. All right, that's going to wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. As we said, Caleb Castile from the Castile family. And also producer for one of the great Alabama football documentaries, Nothing But a Winner. We'll visit with him to get that second hour underway. We'll take you out with The Cure. Hour number one's in the books. Another hour, the TGIF edition of The Gary Harris Show is on the way.
It's time to win some cash on WTBC and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Here is this hour's cash code.
The code is 754. That's 754. The code is 754.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, Martin Weiss.
The Bills beat the Dolphins 31-21. Josh Allen throwing three touchdowns and 213 yards through the air. Tua Tagovailoa threw two touchdowns, one interception, and that interception came with 3 minutes left. It pretty much sealed the game for Buffalo. Dolphins are now 1-14 in the last 15 against Bills. The Dodgers announced that three-time Cy Young Award winner Clayton Kershaw will retire at the end of this season. His final home start coming Friday against the Giants. The Dodgers beat the Giants on Thursday 2-1. The Mariners and Astros now tied for first in the AL West after Seattle beat Kansas City 2-0. The Guardians 3.5 games back from the AL Central leading Tigers after a 3-1 victory at Detroit, and Cleveland's won 7 games in a row.
Line at 800-505-9257. 800-505-9257. 800-505-9257.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hour number two, the Gary Harris Show. No Fridays at the Free today since there's no game. We'll be back at Innisfree Irish Pub next Friday morning as Alabama gets ready to play Georgia next Saturday night in Athens. In studio today, though, it's still the TGIF edition. We had a great first hour. We got a great second hour on tap as well. This hour of the Gary Harris Show, though, being brought to you as always by Patterson Law Firm in Tuscaloosa. Remember, no recovery, no fee. Free consultation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And when you call 205-345-1000, you'll never get a call center. You'll get a real attorney right here in West Alabama. That's the difference. Local matters. Remember, Patterson Law Firm. Find out more at PattersonLawPC.com.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
And we're going to start off this second hour visiting with Caleb Castile, who was on with us a couple of months ago. Of course, part of the famous Castile family, one of the most famous names in Alabama football history. He also, of course, is a Hollywood actor and served as a producer for the outstanding Alabama football documentary, Nothing But a Winner, that had its theatrical release earlier this summer, red carpet in Birmingham, and then around the country. It received a 97% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, rave reviews from fans and critics. It is outstanding. And now, the second phase. It is going to be available for video on demand beginning today. Good morning, Caleb.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, man. What a nice run in theaters around the country. Even people who aren't Alabama football fans, you know, turned out for this movie. And it's, as I said, gotten great reviews. And before we get to the video on demand, just the theatrical run, what was that like with the red carpet release in Birmingham earlier this summer? Tell us about that, if you don't mind.
And it was one for the books. Completely packed house. Man, we couldn't have asked for anything more. I it was above and beyond what we sort of set out to do. And that's no surprise, man. I just feel like that speaks to just how supportive Bama Nation is and has been. And I just feel super blessed to have served our community with this film and been a part of it. So yeah, man, it was amazing. Great turnout, and great turnout in the theaters as well.
What do you think? I mean, obviously, Caleb, I mean, you're an actor and a producer. I mean, you know the film business and you know Alabama football, having played here, your brothers, your dad. So you kind of see both sides of it. But what do you think it was about this film that connected? You knew Alabama football fans were going to be interested, obviously, and fans of Coach Bryant, Coach Saban, and maybe even football fans. But it seems like it connected to a much broader audience. From your experience in the film business, what do you think it was about this documentary that people were so attracted to, maybe that they haven't been with other football type films?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I would say right off the bat, you have a lot of history, mm-hmm. right, that was in this film. And, you know, for the Tide fan and for the sports fan in general, I think that folks are always interested in how something, you know, came about. And fortunately, we were able to get, you know, tons of great interviews mm-hmm. To support our story. And whether we were talking about the, you know, Coach Bryant's history or the university's history as a whole or Coach Saban, I think the history is what really stood out, and people being able to say, wow, I've been following Alabama football all my life. I never knew X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean? I think that's what I would say is sort of what stood out. And also, you know, being able to tell a story that connects to the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
We've all suffered through, we've all gone through certain adversities, and being able to see a group of young men who, you know, decided to commit to something bigger than themselves and come out champions on the other side, it's pretty cool.
Man, you answered that really well, because, of course, that's why you do what you do. But, yeah, ultimately, filmmaking is just storytelling, and there's a story yeah. here that is bigger than – as big as Alabama football is, the story is about more than just Alabama football. I think that you said it. I think that's what makes this film – it's more than just a football or sports documentary. It is a story about people and coming together and – overcoming adversity, all the things in life that we deal with is kind of, you know, in this film.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I sat there and, you know, there were moments, even in my dad's interview, there were moments where he talked about things that I was unaware of. So, you know, I just think that there's a lot to gather for this film, and we couldn't be more grateful for, you know, folks to get the opportunity to be able to view it from the comfort of their home.
Yeah, Caleb Castile with us talking about the Nothing But a Winner. Yeah, that's where we're at now. Great theatrical run, I know, around the country. But as you said, there's a lot of people that haven't had an opportunity to see it, and now they will. How does this work? Kind of give us the insight on how you can get it on video on demand starting today.
Yeah, perfect timing today going into this bye weekend. We don't have any Bama football, so perfect time to watch Nothing But a Winner. But just to cut to the chase, there, Gary, people can go to nothingbutawinner.com, and literally right there at the click of a button, it'll take you to where you can view the film, and it'll be for rental, you know, video on demand there, and you should have an option to be able to screen it to any device in your home, from laptop, phone, the TV. Anything. And later on this year, we'll have some streaming the film will be added to some streaming platforms as well. So as time goes for throughout the rest of the fall, it'll be more and more accessible.
This experience for you, because I know when you moved out to Los Angeles, I mean, you were focused on your acting career more, you know, acting and getting that established. You've done that. Is this producing something that you're going to pursue more of? Well, at some point, would you be interested in directing? What, I mean, I want to ask you while I've got you here about your future in the film industry. What are your plans now?
And I appreciate the question. It's one that, you know, I think about daily. I think, somewhere in the future, there will definitely be an opportunity for me to direct. I have a burning passion for acting, which I haven't done in a long time. And I was just thinking this morning, actually, about, you know, my first film, Woodlawn. We got the film right there in Birmingham, and tell that story about Woodlawn High School and Tony Nathan and Tanny Gerald and you know, Banks and all of that amazing history there that included Birmingham and a little bit of Bama football as well. And so, you know, I want to, first and foremost, I always want to be open and available and ready to do and whatever it is the Lord wants me to step in and do. This is a gift that I know I've been given in order to serve and in order to, I would say, tell impactful stories. It's not, we have a saying in the business, one for the meal and one for the real. And, you know, it's like, hey, I understand. I got a little mouth to feed, and I got a wife that, you know, got expensive habits that, you know, I got to take care of things. But at the same time, you know, my focus, is, you know, whether I'm producing, whether I'm in front of the camera or, you know, an opportunity to direct at some point, you know, I really would love to just continue attracting stories that matter, stories that are impactful, stories that point the audience to a much larger message.
Yeah. All right. You mentioned Woodlawn, your debut film. What a great movie that is, and being filmed in Birmingham. In your future, Caleb, would coming back to Alabama, of course, you're part of this documentary along with others, so that, you know, kind of tie. Would you like to, you know, star in more films and maybe produce and direct films and television shows that are here in Alabama? I mean, Alabama's got a kind of a mixed history with film projects, but there's been some movies, you know, some great movies made in this state. Is that something, because of your ties to the state, that has, you know, crosses your mind as far as, man, I'd really like to, you know, make some movies in Alabama?
Yeah. It's actually, it's funny you saying that, because I had this conversation yesterday with someone in Birmingham. She's a prominent acting coach there. And, you know, it's interesting, Gary, I've spent so much time just pursuing working in this industry outside of Alabama. You know, I've done two films there. I did Woodlawn and I did Tim Tebow's film that he produced there called Run the Race.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I did those two. But to answer your question, you know, my dreams for this started, you know, in my parents' basement in Birmingham, right? You know, there are, you know, phenomenal filmmakers that have come out of Birmingham, and John and Andy Irwin. A young kid out of Mountain Brook wrote a film, Everywhere, All the Time, Somewhere, some funky name that A24 produced, that won an Oscar in the recent years. So, you know, I would love to sort of have a hand in pioneering the industry, pointing people toward Birmingham and Alabama as a whole. So to answer your question, yes, I would absolutely love to be able to do what God has gifted me to do right in my backyard, and also helping the next generation see that there's this whole sort of world out there outside of kind of the stereotypical, like, you gotta play sports growing up, you know. You know how it is in the South.
Oh yeah, I did.
So you know, yeah, I definitely see that happening in my future, because it's already happening, as you said. It's already expanding. And in that conversation yesterday, she was talking to me about a handful of projects that have been shot in Birmingham and a handful of projects in the future that will be. So, yeah, you know what? One day I would love to have a, you know, sort of a small town cop show procedural or something in Birmingham shooting around there somewhere. You know, that'd be awesome.
Great stuff. Before we wrap up with Caleb, and we'll give you a rundown again on where you can get the film on video on demand before we close it out. But I got to ask you, obviously you're Alabama football connection. What do you think of, you know, this season got off to a rocky start in Tallahassee. There's no other way around it, but they bounced back nicely. And now a week from Saturday night, a huge game over in Athens against Georgia. What have you seen from this Alabama football team? And what do you think about its potential to get into the playoff, maybe to the SEC championship game this year?
Oh, man, big loaded question there. I think, you know, I could give the football guy answer, and I could also just give the, I would say, an answer from just the POV of a fan. I really like what I've seen the past few weeks. I think the first game was uncharacteristic of this team and their potential. I like, Gary, when teams are – I was on teams that were faced with immense pressure with the combination of adversity, right?
So,
my freshman year, we lost to Auburn, went to South Carolina and lost. And, you know, I just remember after each one of those losses, and especially moving out of my freshman year and into my sophomore year when we made it to New Orleans for that national championship, you know, just I can tell that this we focused on taking it a game at a time, a week at a time. I was talking to my dad about this the other day. He was driving back from practice, and we were talking through this, and that's what he was saying as well. Is like, these guys have a focus where it's just, hey, let's just go, let's be 1-0 this week, right? Let's just focus on this week, and, you know, dial in, be completely focused on what our job is. And, you know, Gary, it's like these kids are playing in a different world, man. Like, I was fine being in Tuscaloosa with $10 in my pocket, you know what I mean? And now these guys, this whole different situation. You know, I had trouble focusing down there with no money, you know what I mean? So it's like they're faced with a lot, but like I said, just to double down, I like the turnaround that I've seen. And I think the upside of, you know, of what they're dealing with as far as NIL is an opportunity for these guys to just mature in an area and in different ways than we were forced to, you know, before this NIL thing. And another cool thing, I think that, you know, from a just a little off subject, but like, I think most people don't miss the kind of miss this is like, you know, these guys leaving college, you know, from an NFL perspective, from GM perspective, head coach organization perspective, you're kind of getting a pro in a regard of a guy who, like, okay, we've locked in, they know how to be focused, know how to win, and they know how to handle pressure with, you know, a little bit of cheese in their pocket. So these guys excite me. I love those boys. I think they have a strong sense of self and leadership, and as long as they can, you know, stay healthy for the most part and keep that focus, they'll be all right.
Caleb, man, awesome stuff. The film Nothing But a Winner, releasing on video on demand today. Visit nothingbutawinner.com to stream the film and enjoy it the way so many already have. Thank you for coming on again, and enjoyed the visit, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon.
Yes, sir. Hey, thanks for the time, guys.
Thank you, Caleb. Caleb Castile with us with some great information, not just on the film, but on what he's doing now and Alabama football and more. All right, we're going to take a timeout. Marion in the ATL has been patiently holding and enjoying the show. You're going to get your moment when we come back on the other side. Also, Brett Pritchard with the Auburn Blitz from the Auburn Blitz with the Auburn Report at 10:30. And I'll still get to my SEC point spread predictions coming up a little bit later on in the show as well. So we'll be right back. The Gary Harris Show, the TGIF edition, rolls on right after this.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the headlines from TuscaloosaThread.com. Brought to you by Tuscaloosa Mazda. UA is taking heat because there has been no reaction to UA employees posting disparaging remarks about the murder of conservative political activist Charlie Kirk. Garrett is a UA senior who spoke to news partner ABC 3340.
I think it's very disrespectful because at the end of the day, Charlie Kirk, he was a father. He had kids. He spoke out about his faith and what he believed in.
Auburn has fired several employees for questionable posts. McWright Ferry Road and the new North River Bridge named for Ruth and Leroy Maccabee are officially open with a ribbon cutting this morning. And the free Oktoberfest Tuscaloosa runs from 8 to 4 tomorrow at Government Plaza. At Tuscaloosa Mazda, we're expanding to serve you better. Come see our new and pre-owned Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology.
On Pathfinder, more selection, more value, and a lifetime powertrain warranty on every unit you purchase. No one beats the savings at Townsend Nissan Tuscaloosa.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours of
Free Irish Pub. Often imitated but never duplicated. Fridays at the Free with me, Gary Harris. This fall at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa. The weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. A few isolated showers or storms this afternoon or this evening. The high today 93, the low tonight 68. Tomorrow partly to mostly sunny. A small chance of a shower. The high 94. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Need to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Yes, I do. What will a weekend? Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We're going to jump out on the Storage Center Hotline, and our friend Mary over in the ATL has been listening and patiently waiting to get on. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
I'm trying to hang in there. I was low-key kind of humming to that song as you came back in from break. It's been kind of keeping me sane, all the music that y'all have been playing today.
Well, good.
It's been a very good distraction because we have been slammed, and it has just, the whole show period, every day as it usually is, has been a great distraction for me.
Well, thank you very much. It's kind of the calm before the storm over there as far as the game. Next week, I know those Georgia fans are going to be, they're going to be amping it up on you, I bet.
They already are.
Oh, they already are. Okay.
I'm not going to lie to you, Gary. They already are. I've got a couple, when I went to church Wednesday night, we have our class that we have, and my best friend's husband is actually the leader of our class, and he was already kind of giving me these weird, dirty looks, and I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to start smack-talking yet. It's early. And the funny thing is, we're not even going to really get to talk about the game that much because they'll be on vacation at Disney World, lucky. So I won't even really get to trash talk with him much, but yeah, it's already started on my side of town.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well,
that's okay. I can dish it out just as well as they can.
Oh, I know you can. I know you can. Hopefully next Saturday night, Alabama will silence them. But we'll see.
Yeah. Well, my theory was if we can get Tim Keenan back And I know it could be game time decision, day by day decision. If we can get Tim Keenan and Jim Miller back, I firmly believe that there is no telling what we can do. I think that if they're back, it is just as possible that we can give them just as big of a blowout as we did last year when they came down to Tuscaloosa. I think it's possible.
Well, I tell confident. You, it will help. There's no doubt. Getting Tim Keenan back in the middle of that defensive line, he is such a experienced run-plugging defensive stopper. And in the meantime, Simmons, the freshman, has gotten a lot of experience, so that's going to help. And then you're right, Jam Miller's running back one for a reason. And those other guys, yeah. Kevin Riley, all of them have done a nice job, but Jam Miller is your starter. Right. So you get him back, and that's going to improve the offense. So I'm with you. If both those guys are able to play next Saturday night, that'll be a big lift for Alabama.
I mean – doubt that I think we will be fine if they're not able to come back, because I mean it would be great to avoid any more unnecessary injuries as much as possible, because we've already got so many good guys out. I don't want to see Ryan Williams get hurt again. That is definitely not needed. We need to avoid all of that as much as possible and just stay healthy. And I just feel like this could be a game where that could be hard to do, because Georgia's defense will go after you. From what I've seen, they fight hard and they go out literally, as you could say, I guess, for the kill, because they don't play around.
No, they don't. And like I've talked about on this show, when you've called in before, you live there. Georgia's tired of Alabama. They're almost paranoid about Alabama. Kirby 1-5, Alabama 9 of the last 10. They will treat this game as and Kirby's a great coach, but I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to treat this game differently. I mean, they're going to every bit of psychological maneuvering that Kirby can use, and he's good at that. He's going to use on this football team for this game. They want this one badly, not only because it's the next one and it's a conference game, but they want to perform an exorcism on these demons that Alabama has unloaded on them over the years. And so they're going to be ready to go. Listen, Georgia is going to be ready. So it's going to take Alabama matching that intensity and that preparation and going over there and being ready to play for 60 minutes in the game. And if you do that, you give yourself a chance. But if you're right, if you're not ready to go and you're sloppy and you get behind early, this can get away from you.
Well, I mean, and I feel like that's exactly what both teams need to do. 60 minutes of football has got to be played no matter what. If you're not focused through all four quarters, you got a problem. So, and I have no doubt that mentally we can play the mind games just as good as they can. And if we can do that in all four quarters, I have no doubt that we can take care of business and shut them out and send them back to the pound where they belong.
I hear you, Mary. That's the attitude. Hey, have a great weekend, okay?
Y'all too. Roll Tide.
Thank you. All right, 10:31. We're going to come back with Brett Pritchard with the Auburn Report. Next, right here on The Gary Harris Show.
Language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene, is
welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for the Auburn Report with Brett Pritchard from the Auburn Blitz. And as we've talked about, some teams on bye this week, some good games, but only two SEC versus SEC games. We got South Carolina and Missouri. And then the headliner is two unbeaten teams, number 22 Auburn at number 11 Oklahoma. Tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 on ABC, the Sooners are a 7.5-point favorite. It is a big game. It's, you know, if you want to call it the Jackson Arnold Bowl, Jackson Arnold, Oklahoma's quarterback last year. Now the Auburn quarterback, Oklahoma went out and got John Mateer and his offensive coordinator from Washington State. So all kinds of storylines. But, Brett, good morning. The biggest storyline is that the winner of this game is going to be really in good shape after 4 weeks in the SEC. So all the storylines surrounding the game, it's a football game, and a lot is on the line for these two ball clubs.
Yeah, there is. I think we've kind of talked about it all week. And, you know, one game doesn't make a season, but it definitely can propel you in the right direction. And I think Oklahoma's had one decently tough matchup in Michigan. I don't know how good Michigan's offense really is. But defense played pretty well, kept Michigan in the game. It was still a game in the fourth quarter. So, you know, challenged Oklahoma there at home. And then Auburn, first game of the season, went on the road and played a high-powered offensive team in Baylor. And obviously their defense really hasn't stopped anybody in the last couple of years. And, you know, again, it was kind of a one-dimensional deal. Auburn ran the football. If they didn't turn the ball over, they could get out of there with a win. No reason to really kind of throw it around because Baylor couldn't stop Auburn. So, you know, really a good matchup for both teams, but this is definitely going to be the biggest test to date for both of these programs. And, you know, very similar situations with the coaches. Brent Venables coming off another losing season last year, and, you know, had two out of his three seasons have been losing seasons. And Coach Freeze is trying to get Auburn back off this four-year snide of having losing seasons. So still a lot to prove, still fan bases that are waiting for that next step with these two particular coaches.
All right, let's get to the quarterback situation because it is a big story. It has been all week for both head coaches, and it's a unique situation, in my opinion, and I'll get you to react, Brett, is that, you know, Jackson Arnold was five-star quarterback out of high school, went to Oklahoma last year. They had as bad a luck as far as receiving injuries as any team I can remember. I mean, really, their wide receiving core got wiped out. But, you know, it was kind of weird the way this went down. I mean, he's there, and I didn't see anything that led me to believe Oklahoma didn't want him back. But quickly went into the portal, transferred to Auburn, has been, it appears through three games, the best quarterback that Auburn has had in a while. And yet Oklahoma feels like they've upgraded with John Mateer. They also brought in Ben Arbuckle, the offensive coordinator who coached him at Washington State. So there's been some symmetry there. So it's a weird dynamic, but it appears both Oklahoma and Auburn got better at quarterback, and the same guys involved, you know, with both teams to some degree. So it is a interesting storyline. Do you think that both programs kind of feel that way? Hey, we're better at quarterback at Auburn, and Oklahoma feels like they're better at quarterback with Mateer.
Well, I think I definitely think both teams had to go out and do what they felt like was best for their program. And, you know, John Mateer, when he got in the portal, a lot of people thought that he was the top quarterback in the portal, and I definitely think he's living up to that billing and got a lot of high expectations around him, and put up great numbers last year and an odds on favorite for the Heisman Trophy. And then when you got Jackson Arnold leaving Oklahoma, we know that a lot of that had to do with Jeff Lebby leaving Oklahoma and just the relationship there. And you heard Coach Venables talk about Jackson Arnold in at media days, and just said that, look, there's no bad blood at all. We didn't want Jackson Arnold to leave Oklahoma. We really liked Jackson Arnold, and you know, sometimes you just need to change the scenery. You need a reboot, Gary, and that's just the way it is. And Jackson Arnold felt like things changed at Oklahoma for him, and you know, thought about the opportunity to get in the portal and see where he could go, and the Auburn job was available, and Coach Freeze really liked he liked Jackson Arnold as a fit in this offense and what he likes to run, and so far it's been great. Not much of a sample size to this point. Got three games. He's played error-free ball. Really hasn't done anything overly dynamic. Done what it takes to go out and control the offense and you know, not make mistakes. But it's going to be a different situation going into Oklahoma tomorrow. There'll be the return factor of this thing everybody's talking about. And, you know, he, again, not necessarily thinking he's personally got anything to prove to those people, but to the media, to the pundits out here. And, you know, and then, you know, just going in and seeing if he can do the next thing, the next step. And that's maybe throw the ball downfield a little bit more, maybe see what Oklahoma provides as far as stacking the box and maybe throw it a little bit more downfield rather than the dink and dive throws that we've seen to this point. So, yeah, a lot of storylines in that around these two quarterbacks. So, obviously, all eyes will be on them.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about Jackson Arnold. Obviously knows the personnel at Oklahoma, knows the coaching staff, but what is he going to face as a quarterback with this defense that he has not had to deal with in the first three games?
You know, you're going to have a very, like, this is a very stingy defense when you look at it off the hook. You know, we went over it today on the podcast. You know, PFF has their defensive line rated as a 73, and their secondary rated as a 79, which is pretty high. And you look at some of the numbers, they've only allowed 19 points in three games, and so they're very stingy, and they've got a good defensive line, and their top pass rusher will be out in the first half, Mason Thomas, which will definitely help. I mean, you know, anytime you have the best, and you know, obviously the best player on one side of the ball out for a half, you got to figure out a way to take advantage of that. So they've got a really, really good solid defense. Again, have they been challenged like they'll be challenged against Auburn? I don't think so. I think Auburn has a chance, and I said that this morning on the podcast, to control the line of scrimmage on both sides. I think Auburn's defensive front has an advantage over their offensive line. They're banged up. They got several guys that are questionable, and they got several guys that have already been listed as out. So I think Auburn's pretty healthy up front defensively, has a chance to really get out there and get a pass rush on John Mateer, but you got to be able to contain him. He's a true dual threat quarterback, just like Jackson Arnold. And when things break down, he can hurt you with his leg. So looking forward to watching that. To me, that's the key matchup, Gary, of the whole game. You're going to be focusing on the quarterback, but it's really going to be about the offensive and defensive lines. And I know that's kind of a cliche statement, but it's whoever controls it. And I think Auburn has an opportunity to continue to run the football with Jeremiah Cobb, and I think we'll see Damari Austin back tomorrow. So if Auburn can control the line and run the football and dictate the pace, you got to feel good about it.
Yeah, you mentioned a big part of this game, and that is the Oklahoma offensive line. I mean, I was talking about the receiving core last year. I don't know that I've ever seen a team three games into the season go into a big game as decimated across the offensive front as Oklahoma is. Brett, I mean, it has to impact the game.
They've got seven guys listed on the availability report is either out, questionable, or probable. I'm with you. I don't know. Several people text me yesterday and go, how many offensive linemen do they have? And, you know, on the probable side, three of those guys, the three are listed as probable or starters. But, again, when you're having to be listed as probable, means you're nursing
nursing something.
You're not going to be 100%. And then they've got three that are definitely out that they don't have available. And then, of course, Isaiah Dent on the questionable side. So really, you look at it, it's four that are probably out for sure, and then three that are banged up. So, yeah, you know, again, Auburn's defensive line's got to be able to take advantage of that. Auburn's not going to have a Morris Williams, more than likely. I know he's listed as questionable, but he's still – battling a shoulder injury from last week, and so it really will probably be a game time decision, and even a play by play decision on whether he'll even play at all or not, maybe in a special situation or something. But would doubt to see him tomorrow. But really, that's it for Auburn on the defensive line. I mean, everybody else is ready to go, and so Auburn's got to be able to take advantage of that.
All right. What's your pick for tomorrow?
Man, I tell you, it's just, you know, I think both of these teams are trying to establish themselves again in the top tier of this league. And it's a big test for both of them. I think if Oklahoma, you know, loses, there's a ton of pressure back on Brent Venables again. And, of course, with the rest of their schedule coming up. And then the same with Auburn. I think Auburn's got two games right here, Gary, and we've said this. I don't necessarily think the Oklahoma game is a must-win for Auburn, but if Auburn doesn't win the Oklahoma game, all of a sudden the Texas A&M game becomes a must-win. You can't lose both of these and still really have realistic expectations of being a playoff contender. So, you know, I think I predicted it before the season started that I felt like Auburn would be able to go into Oklahoma and get a win. And I'm gonna go out of limb and say that they're gonna go over there and get a win tomorrow. I feel like we haven't seen everything from this offense yet. I think Auburn's done what they've had to do in these first three games to win. And I think they're going to be able to turn it loose a little bit more tomorrow. And, again, defense is going to give up points. I think the defense is what it is. I think they fly around, and I think teams are going to be able to move the football. It'll be dependent on if Auburn can bow up and stop Oklahoma in the red zone and maybe force them to field goal opportunities rather than scoring touchdowns. But I think Jackson Arnold's ready to embrace the return. I think the running game's going to be what dictates the pace of the game, and I think Auburn's really got a solid running attack. And so I think Auburn goes over and gets it done 31-27.
All right. Before you fly to Norman in the morning, you got a big high school game tonight with your Benjamin Russell squad welcoming in Spain Park. That ought to be that ought to be a big one tonight in terms of not just the game, but fan interest. And this is one of those special high school football games as well.
Yeah, it's got the feel of a third-round playoff game, Gary. I mean, these two teams are at the top of this region, and, you know, you don't want to overlook anybody. Obviously, you take every game one at a time, but both of these teams are the two that I think going into the season were the favorites to win the region. And, you know, so here we are in week five already, which is crazy, in high school football, that you have this matchup between two top 10 teams, Benjamin Russell, number nine in the state, and Spain Park, number six. And there's D1 talent all over the field for Ben Russell and Spain Park. Spain Park's quarterback's committed to Clemson. Obviously, Sedarian Morgan's committed to Alabama for Benjamin Russell. But it just doesn't stop with those two guys. I mean, both teams have really good lines of scrimmage, and they have other skill guys that can get it done. So, yeah, if you don't have a dog in the fight, you're looking for a good high school football game, you need to come to Alex City tonight. It's going to be a really, really good football game between two good football teams.
Indeed. And, of course, you got the Auburn Blitz coming up here.
We do have the Auburn Blitz coming back up here in just about a little over an hour. And so we'll discuss a lot of what we talked about this morning and then, of course, kind of give updates on anything that we hear leading up to tomorrow. But we won't be on location today for the first time in forever, which is kind of great because we got such an early flight tomorrow and a lot going on today. So, but we will be on at noon. So everybody tune us in.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Appreciate it, Gary. Thank you.
All right. 10:48 here on the Gary Harris Show. Lunch is right around the corner. Why don't you check out one of my favorite lunch spots? And really, it's one of my favorite spots for breakfast, lunch, or brunch, and that's Brick and Spoon, downtown at Timberson Square, open until 2 o'clock daily, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., great food, great service, and a really neat place to hang out and visit with your friends. That's Brick and Spoon, downtown at Timberson Square. All right, we're going to come back and take a phone call and also get my SEC point spread predictions before we close out the show on this TGIF edition. We'll be back after this.
Coming up on the game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of the game, we'll do SEC Parlay Picks presented by Brian Harden Construction. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough from Bama 247 Sports. We'll talk to Brent Beer, Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, all starting at 2 p.m. here on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partly to mostly sunny today. A few isolated showers or storms this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 93. The low tonight, 68. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. A small chance of a shower. The high, 94. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let it fly!
On Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
All right, 10:53. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We're getting ready to wrap it up, but we've got a few more minutes, and definitely want to run down some high school football scores from last night. Pell City over Huffman, 49-7. Pike Road beat Percy Julian, 43-0. Spanish Fort, 41. Murphy Zip. Central Clay County, 58. Sylacauga, 17. Birmingham Carver, 60. Hayden, 14. Cottonwood, 40. Sampson, 22. Laverne, 64. Zion Chapel, 6. And Georgiana, 37. Kinston, 34. All right, we're going to get to my SEC point spread predictions in just a moment. First, though, we're going to jump out and take a phone call from Ragged Glory. Hey, Ragged Glory.
Hey, TGIF.
Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for taking my call. I'll make this real quick for you. I got to give a shout out to Mary. Mary, you know I love you. You know what? Never give up, never surrender, no retreat. You're not alone out there in them neck of the woods because you got a Mr. Larry Butler, the music man, who's also a huge Crimson Tide fan out there, too. And I got a special play designed. I'm going to be the quarterback, and I'm going to fake to Caden Proctor leading the way so that you, dressed up in full pads, can hit a dog. How do you like them apples, huh?
How about that? Man, you brought you came ready today.
Man, I, you know what? You got to love this woman. You know what? So Ragged Glory loves you, Mary. I also wanted to say, you know what? My mother is a native Oklahoma. Okay, she was born in a little, I mean, a one-horse town, not even a one-horse town, grocery store country, way out in the neck of the woods, and the upper flat of this old wooden country store is where she was born, and that whole place is under a lake, and it's called Lake Ucha.
She
was born in Ucha, Oklahoma. She's a native Sooner, and I'm going with Oklahoma Sooners over Auburn, 24-20.
You are recorded. We've got you recorded, and you've got the Sooners getting it done against the Tigers, Ragged Glory.
Yep, I do, because you know what? When I was living there, I had to root for the Sooners.
I bet.
And so I, you know, USC, the Sooners, and now the Crimson Tide, so here I am, true blue, crimson.
Thank you, Ragged Glory. Have a great weekend, my friend. Yes, sir. Talk to you on Monday. All right, let me run my point spread predictions down real quick. SEC, Arkansas taking on Memphis up at the Liberty Bowl. Boy, I think this is a close game. I'm going to take Memphis plus a 7.5 there. Tennessee taking on UAB. UAB's defense is terrible. They're getting a lot of points, but I don't think, you know, Josh Heupel will run it up on you. I'll take the Vols minus a 38.5. I'm going to take Auburn plus the 7.5. I think that's a close game out at Oklahoma. I'm not sure Auburn will win, but I think it'll go down to the wire. I'm going to take Tulane plus the 12.5 at Ole Miss. And I'm also going to go ahead and take Mississippi State laying 21.5. But I just think in Northern Illinois is not terrible, but I'll lay the points there. I will take South Carolina plus the 10, and I'm probably going to be the minority there, but I just think that that's one of these games where South Carolina got embarrassed at home. Missouri's unbeaten, but I think that's going to be a closer game than what most people do. I'll take the 10. I'm going to lay the 8.5 with Miami. I just think Florida's got some major, major issues. And I'm leery to lay the 28 with Vandy. Georgia State beat them last year in Atlanta, but that's why I'm going to lay the 28 and take Vandy. And I'm going to take Texas to finally cover one of these big spreads. I'm going to lay 39.5, just thinking that sooner or later they're going to beat somebody bad, right? I mean, there's too much talent on that Texas team, so I'll lay the 39.5. All right, that's my point spread predictions for this week, and that's going to wrap it up for the show. This hour has been brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy. There's college football, tons of it, but no Alabama game, so it might be an opportunity to get out to the lake or the pool or play some golf or whatever it is you want to do on Saturday afternoon. We will be back on Monday morning to recap it for you, and reminder to catch me on TV tonight with the local sports. Sports and Football Friday on WVOA 23 at 10:30 tonight, 10:30 to 11:30. All your high school football coming up, so looking forward to that. All right, we got the Miller's Edge coming up next. For Reed and Chase, I'm Gary. Thanks for tuning in to the Gary Harris Show. Have a great weekend. It's hot, but it's beautiful outside, and I'll talk to you again on Monday morning at 9 a.m.